Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now better to serve you together and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics. The finish line is in sight for Ohio State, and yet there is still so much work to do on this Wednesday on The Beat, presented by the Waterworks. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. And one deadline, the NFL Draft Declaration Day, has arrived. The closing of the transfer portal window is 2 days away, Berm. And since we all last spoke on snap judgments, Ohio State picked up like a ton of transfer portal additions. So everything's still happening all at once. But as we hit this midway point of the week in the, 80-ish percent mark of the transfer portal window, some of the work is coming into focus and a lot of it is now trending back in the positive direction for Ohio State. At least that's my vantage point.
Yeah, and this is one of those moments where I run into this great conundrum for how we record and produce and send out this show, because we like to give full transparency. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. As we've learned over the course of our time in this business, a lot of things happen when you're least expecting it. However, if we want to produce this show and have it published at 5 a.m. every day, because that's what the users out there expect, we can't do it live. And so we run the risk of things happening between now and 5 a.m. that would make this show seem potentially outdated. But consider this the giant asterisk at the start of the show, because here we are, as you said, waiting on NFL draft
decisions. Well, how giant does this asterisk need to be?
Well, I mean, it's substantive to the conversation, because here we are waiting for some NFL draft decisions still, as Ohio State has not had official announcements from Carson Hinsman or Kenyatta Jackson or even Max Clair. We certainly expect Hinsman and Jackson to return. We expect Clair to go, but you never know. Things can change here in the blink of an eye. So just consider it an asterisk, folks. When we're talking about what Ohio State needs to add in the portal, there's a chance that they've already added it by the time this happens, by the time this is aired, because that's just the way the cookie is crumbling. And
thanks for joining us on Snap Judgments on Tuesday night.
Well, Wednesday morning, because we're not going to publish this till Wednesday morning, no matter what.
No, this isn't Snap Judgments. We would have, if that big of an asterisk is necessary. I don't know why we're starting the show this way. It seems highly
unnecessary. I think it's important to let people behind the curtain of the decisions that have to go into the day-to-day operations here, because we certainly, like, fundamentally, what Ohio State needs as we record this is not changing, but it may change between now and 5 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, when this airs, because maybe they've already received it. So you just don't know.
I'm just saying, if that's the case, then I put an asterisk on the appreciation for everyone watching the Snap Judgments that we would have had to do on Tuesday night.
I don't know that we're going to be able to record it on Tuesday night. I have things to do. So let's dive in. So should we just start here at those NFL departures? Because again, that is Wednesday. That's the deadline. What is it? 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon? Is that the timeline, or is it?
I don't know. Let's just say afternoon. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
But, again, there's only a couple left for Ohio State that we are really thinking that, have decisions to make. But we feel fairly confident in the ones we've already projected boldly last week on Bold Predictions. But I know that you can correct me if I'm wrong, to have had like slightly less optimistic view about potentially Carson Hinsman's return. So I'd like to know why you think that, but also I'd like to remind people that just because you're saying that doesn't mean that he's not coming back.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything can be guaranteed in this era. And if I was looking at this from the outside, this is the only perspective. I did see Carson Hinsman on Saturday, and I tried to coerce Liberty into saying, hey, because she wanted to meet him. She saw him. We said hello at this establishment that we were at on Saturday. Me with my wife and daughter, Carson with his significant other. And it was lovely, a beautiful afternoon in Columbus. And I would say that he loves being in Columbus, and he loves playing at Ohio State, and he loves rebuilding cars and the college experience. And from all of those perspectives and your experiences with Carson Hinsman over the last 4+ years, mine, I think that he is more than willing to return. I think it is more likely than not that he will. But And I don't think that he's even in a position where he would go ask for an exorbitant amount of money from Ohio State. The only reason I would say that there's any possibility for that door to be open is looking at the draft class of centers and or guards. I can't say for sure where an NFL team would want to play him. He's got multiple years of starting experience at Ohio State as a center. It's been pretty good. That's where I expect he would be next year. But if you're talking about this new age of salary cap roster management, Ohio State does have a security blanket with Josh Padilla to potentially take over at center. So no one is going to force Carson Hensman to leave. I don't think Carson Hensman wants to leave. I just don't think that is a 100% certainty. And there's part of that that dates back to like mid-season conversations, October, November, where it felt like he was, you know, maybe some of that college experience. And if Ohio State won a national championship, there'd be nothing else to prove that maybe at that time he was leaning towards going out and moving on to the professional ranks. So all of that is to say, I won't guarantee anything, but I still find it more likely than not that next year's starting offensive line is already in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
My mic is muted. The bigger question I had, my mic was muted because I was taking a drink of water, is whether or not Carson Hinsman's hair is still that horrible yellow color.
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. It is. And he has.
I know he said he has to grow it out before he can change it, but that's the way it goes. It's interesting because the conversation for a lot of people throughout this transfer portal window has been, when will Ohio State upgrade on the offensive line? And as we've said from the start, it seemed unlikely that barring a significant true upgrade at any position, that the Buckeyes would not make a move for a starter in the transfer portal. Of course, on Tuesday, Jordan Seaton, the top-ranked offensive tackle in the country, a guy that Ohio State fans were very, very enamored with in his recruiting process, entered the transfer portal and is now conversation have around him swirling with Oregon, Miami, Texas, Texas Tech, of course, all of the big spenders.
Just say the usual suspects.
The usual suspects, but this is a guy who, from what I've heard, the asking price, the initial asking price, would be comparable to like what Ohio State would be paying for their entire offensive line. So it seems unlikely that the Buckeyes would make a move there, but he's like probably the only transfer portal entrant on the offensive line to this juncture that would be a guaranteed upgrade over anything Ohio State has on its starting lines. So it's an interesting dichotomy, but I don't think from an Ohio State perspective, it's going to matter because that's just not a spot where it makes sense, knowing that you feel pretty okay with the guys you have coming back, which I know, again, we constantly play this like, well, this is what the fans are saying. Fans are not happy about the offensive line because the last two games they gave up 416 sacks, which is too many. But
that's a lot.
In the minds of the coaching staff, it was more about injuries and not having guys prepared rather than the guys not being the right guys. So it's kind of this weird catch-22. Bottom line, Jordan Seaton's probably not a guy that you're going to go after if he's starting, if the starting conversation is multi-million dollars.
Yeah, and I think that's why when we're talking about what's left for Ohio State to do in these next couple of days, and as a reminder for anyone who isn't aware, just the deadline to acquire players does not expire on Friday. You can players just have to be in the portal by then. Now you have the other matter beyond that of when do classes start? Do you need to be in position for spring camp and all those other things that, you know, a lot of this is still going to be, I think, wrapped up in the next week or so. At least I hope that will be the case, but that's another thing that we can't guarantee. But if we're talking about targets or needs, that's why if Jordan Seaton has a serious interest, mutual interest in Ohio State, of course, that would be something that Ohio State would add to the to-do list. But I don't think, as we're sitting here, offensive line is viewed as a necessity. I don't think, honestly, that it ever was dating back to December. So whatever Carson Hensman decides, whatever Austin Sereveld may decide, and whenever they do that, I'm not sure that dramatically changes the picture all that much. Even in the scenario where if we gamed that out and they both left, you would still have Ian Moore and Philip Daniels returning to play tackle. Is that the ideal scenario? Maybe not. Maybe that would, the departures of both of those would free up money and interest to make a splashier offer on Jordan Seaton. Don't know, but I don't think that's going to happen. But there is certainly enough talent returning on the Ohio State offensive line that it never has felt like a priority. If we, you know, we have to say that the work is already done at tight end at this point. It's what they've done to add not one, but two pickups over the last week and a half, one from Ohio, one from Northwestern, both with, you know, veteran experience and proven productivity. So that's not on the to-do list. What Ohio State did on Sunday and Monday with, you know, the two pickups from Alabama, two pickups in the secondary, a lot of that work is done. And most of that stuff, you know, defensive front as well. I think that you tell me, Berm, it feels like maybe there would still be an interest in another defensive end. But when you add Quay Rousseau and James Smith, that seems like that's checking the box. Assuming that Kenyatta Jackson is back, then you're fully done. You might still be done anyway.
Yeah, but you know, as we've learned, a lot can change in a week. So you just never know. And honestly, what surprised me more than anything, Austin, is how much things can change in 4 weeks. Okay, because I'm down almost 30 pounds in 4 weeks. And if you'd have told me that a month ago, I would have asked you if I lost a limb.
Because but I did tell you that
that was on weight. Well, but I knew it was going to happen. Anyway, I've gained, you know, I didn't gain all that weight that I had to lose in a month. So you don't really notice it when it gets put on. You don't really see it on your face and everywhere else. But when you start to lose it, when you lose it the healthy way, you can watch 3 years, 5 years, 15 years of weight gain just disappear just like that. And it's easy to stay on track with the Awaken 180 app because the app is awesome. My coach Mandy keeps me motivated and ensuring that the weight comes off. And the pounds on the scale are just sort of like the real motivation. So while I miss cheese on my cheeseburgers, that's something that I'm going to be able to add back in soon when I'm into the weight maintenance part of this program. But in the meantime, I'm giving up a little bit and I'm getting a lot. I feel so much better, so much healthier. If you want to do the same thing, if you want to take control of yourself and your weight, go to awaken180weightloss.com and do what we all did and get yourself on track. It's been really awesome and easy. The transfer portal has not been awesome and easy for Ohio State. As you said, like I was talking to you and Brandon Beam on Monday night on the telephone during the Buckeye show. And the question Brandon asked was, who else do we expect to lose? And the answer was, well, you don't expect to lose anyone. You don't want to lose anyone. But then Tuesday, immediately, there's the departure from Joshua Mickens, the defensive end. So like everything that you feel like, okay, this is now settled, the conversation has the opportunity to shift. But big picture, as we record this on Tuesday afternoon, you look at it like this. I think Ohio State still needs a running back. From what I understand, that's close to completed. I think Ohio State would still like to add another wide receiver. There's been a ton of back and forth about Mylon Graham and whether or not he's going to return. People I talk to are under the impression that Mylon has signed somewhere else and will end up at Notre Dame, and that the conversation about Ohio State really trying to bring him back has been a little bit inflated slash exaggerated. So take that for what it's worth. I don't think that Mylon Graham will be back, but I don't think Ohio State would pass up another receiver either if one came available. Offensive line, pretty set there, I think, as we just talked about. Tight end, pretty set there, as you talked about. Defensive line is interesting because you look at the roster and you think, well, you could probably use someone else, especially now that you lose Josh Mickens, who's another in your defensive end room. That would be four of them. You've only added, one? So you really need to get crack in there. The conversation really is about the Dazier twins from Florida State. That is Mandrell and Daryl Dazier. Both guys who were pretty exciting freshmen down at Florida State this year. They've been rumored to be entering the transfer portal for the last week and a half, still are not officially in it. There's apparently some language that calls for a buyout to get them out of their NIL deal with Florida State. So like you have to consider, are you willing to pay almost seven figures to have even a chance to recruit these kids? So that's out there. Linebacker, Ohio State seems set. Defensive tackle, I think they're set. You have to get a corner. That's the biggest thing for me right now. You look at the remaining needs. The one that I think is the most pressing is cornerback. I've heard multiple people this week that they are working on it, that they're looking to find the right guys. But again, you just don't know who's going to still enter the portal. I'm not going to throw names out there that I'm putting out there because there's any specificity around those players. But players like Dorian Brew, for example, from Oregon, who is a guy Ohio State recruited really aggressively out of high school. He went to Oregon, did not really play as a freshman, does not appear to be in line to play as a second-year player there. Maybe someone like that becomes available. You just don't know what can happen between now and Friday. We've seen, what, 10-plus Oregon players enter the portal. Like, that's the type of team Ohio State is saying, well, let's see if something comes out of that roster. And if that happens, then all of a sudden you have more options. But that's pressing. And obviously kicker, which has to be addressed in the – because Ohio State doesn't have one. The reports that I've heard, people have told me that they think that that should be locked up and announced in the near future as well. So, again, by 5 a.m. Wednesday, maybe running back and kicker are already – settled, but when you look at what's actually needed, that's pretty much it. And obviously Ohio State added Justin Martin, the quarterback from UCLA and Maryland, on Monday as well. So you've got that depth piece figured out. So it's moving along. All the people that scoffed at the notion that there was a plan, maybe they don't like it, but the plan is working. Now you just have to finish it.
Yeah, I've made this point a few times, and I know that not everyone will like it. Not everyone will agree with it. You aren't limited to just one plan. If something isn't working, you adjust. Or if you use the Ohio State parlance, you pivot. And I think Ohio State's done, in my estimation, a pretty good job of that. The explosion, the bonanza of portal pickups on Sunday and Monday, and what could still happen over the next day or so, like, you don't, there's several things. You don't have to take people the very second that they go into the portal and sign them immediately. You may lose on some recruitments. That has been, well established over the history of college football or NFL. Every free agent that you pursue is not going to sign with you. It is okay to sometimes come up short or not hit on the top of the board plan or go to plan B or plan B or plan C. I fully and completely understand some of the frustration that has existed out there about the volume of people in there, the perception of some of these losses of players that we knew Ohio State was going to target and didn't close the deal with for a variety of reasons. We can't say that it is all one thing or another, and it isn't all related to losing NIL offers to pick whatever program and whichever player we're talking about. There are other reasons why Ohio State may walk away, and you can say, well, that just sounds like the loser's mentality. That's fine if you feel that way. That's not what's happening in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. That is not the way they feel. So, yes, this has not gone 100% according to the plan that they set out on January 1. We can all agree on that. Is this secondary plan, the one that has included the six players that have been added since last Friday, including going back to Christian Aliegro, like, is that a pretty strong response to that? If that was an in-portal adjustment or something that they intended all along, I'll never be able to answer that definitively. But either way, if it was the original intention or the backup plan, it's still very good. This is still going to be one of the five most talented teams in the country, and they have the opportunity still to add to it. So, it's tough to, I feel this way a lot of times, like in the second quarter of a game too, when Ohio State is tied, losing, not blowing somebody out. It's like, there's still a long, long way to go and an opportunity for them to win and maybe even blow somebody out. I don't know if that's going to happen by the end of the NFL draft deadline or by Friday or by a week and a half from now when, like, maybe all the pieces are put together. But I'd sure love to find out, because in the midst of it, we're not seeing the full picture yet. And yeah. I'm not saying blindly believe that this plan and that everything is going exactly like they wanted to. We're not saying that. We're saying let them make some in-game adjustments. Let them pivot to another position or another player. There's lots of people that want to play for Ohio State still. And there's a lot of people that will take the amount of money that the Buckeyes are willing to spend. They are having to change the approach in real time. But also, this coaching staff is generally pretty good at that, notwithstanding some of the things that we talked about against Indiana and Miami.
Right. And I think that that's a fair way to look at it. And I think that really comes down to is the plan when you start this whole procedure is sort of irrelevant, because until you get into the room with the players or their agents, the plan is based on incomplete information. And so you can say to yourself in November, when Chaz Coleman conversation about him going into the portal starts to occur, you can say, hey, that's a guy we can target and we think that we can get. We have a plan, like this is someone we want. But when the first conversation with the agent includes an asking price that you are, that is 50% higher than you anticipated, let's say, or that's, I'm not saying that's the number. I'm just saying, let's just use hypotheticals here. If the asking price is significantly higher than you asked, than you expected it to be, and then you have conversations with the player and with the player's personnel or agency or whatever, and then you have concerns about medical issues that maybe you weren't aware of until you had a chance to sit down and talk to the player, like your initial plan requires change at that point. So it's not as though you should be measured by how well you succeed in the original plan that was being basically a rough draft from the start. So I think that, you know, it's different because, as you said, like the plan, the second quarter adjustments might just happen when another player that you didn't know was going to be in the portal goes into the portal. You know, there's no way that on December 26th, as Ohio State was starting to look ahead to the portal, they thought to themselves, well, Earl Little's going to be our guy at safety, because on December 26th, he was announcing that he was going to the NFL draft. So come January 2nd, when he had changed his mind, then all of a sudden things change. And 10 days later, he's committed to Ohio State. So like you have a plan, but you know the plan requires change and requires adaptation. So I think Ohio State's done a good job with it. You know, and as these next couple pieces get added, again, I think we'll see a running back added in the next day or two. I think we'll see a kicker added in the next day or two. I think we will see how aggressive Ohio State really wants to be when it comes to the Desir twins from Florida State, if they enter the transfer portal. I know that's in, those are names that have been out there and people have certainly talked about it. But you got to get a corner. So who's the corner going to be? Because they need someone that's going to be good enough to challenge for playing time. This is not a spot, I think, where you can be comfortable just going out and getting a depth piece. This is not a spot where you add a random player from the transfer portal and just say, oh, we need a body. Like, you need someone. A Jordan Thomas, the incoming freshman from New Jersey, was awesome at the All-American game of this past weekend. He's turning a lot of heads. He's going to be in the conversation as cornerback three. So is Jay Timmons, the other incoming freshman, five-star, number two ranked corner in the country, according to the Rivals database. But much like we've seen with the decision to move on at safety and find more veteran depth, find guys that have experience, I think you really have to look for a cornerback and a wide receiver that can come in and play, not come in and just be a body.
Yeah. And that work, as we said, is ongoing. A couple more days left with those draft deadlines and the transfer portal window closing on Friday. And if there's more news, maybe we talk to you on Tuesday night. We don't know. If this was an outdated, in some ways, version on a Wednesday morning, well, then we'll be back to provide some updates later on Wednesday with whatever we find out, whatever happens for Ohio State on the roster management front as this process continues throughout January. Thanks for bearing with us as we try to adjust our own plan on the fly for covering Ohio State during this busy stretch for the Buckeyes. Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday version of the beat, presented by the Waterworks. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.